First on the agenda is pizza emoji, praying slash high five emoji to be confirmed, and love heart emoji, which is concerned with objects of our critical obsession, our celebrity embodiments, and the consumption of ready-made artists of color. Through the lens of Julia Roberts' universal appeal, curator and artist Sabella D'Souza presents a body of work that enables audiences to meditate on the new ways in which queer people of color can destabilize colonial spectatorship. So joining me to unpack this very loaded work a little bit more is Sabella herself. Good morning.
Good morning. You can also call it Eat, Pray, Love, which it also works.
Oh, that makes a lot of sense. I cannot believe I didn't realize that.
That's all right.
So maybe it might be best to just start with a little bit of an unpack of what I kind of just said and what that might look like.
Like, let's begin with like Julia Roberts as a zeitgeist kind of object. I began studying her probably about like 2 years ago, and I found out that in 2008, when she was on set for the film Eat, Pray, Love, she converted to Hinduism.
Oh, so that was her personally converted to Hinduism.
Yeah, well, she said that she's always been a practicing Hindu, and like in India they refer to her as like the most Hindu-friendly celebrity. There's like all these articles.
Hindu-friendly celebrity. Yeah. What a strange
term. Yeah, it's a real fun time. But there's like there's all this media based in India. I'm Indian myself, FYI. You couldn't tell by my last name. Yeah, there's all this media around Julia Roberts, and like there's such hype around her kind of embodying and being a part of like Hindu faith. And I think that there's a really weird thing as a culture that we kind of valorize her for being part of the Hindu
culture.
Like
how good that she's doing that.
Yeah, how great. Thing, and she renamed her children, or like she said that she renamed her children from Phineas, Henry and Hazel to Krishna Balaram, Mahalakshmi and Ganesh, which is just like pick the most Hindu name. I love it. But yeah, that's kind of how it all began.
Right. And so this work, as you've mentioned, is about Eat, Pray, Love. When did you watch this film and how did you initially respond?
I think I saw the film again about 2 years ago. I was doing a work on films set in India by mainly white production directors and casting. So I was looking at films like James Bond's Octopussy, Darjeeling Limited. I was even looking at like Slumdog Millionaire, which although had a prominent Indian cast, like really pushed itself for the Western audience.
Definitely.
You got like Jai Ho, what a classic.
Yeah.
And I was at the beginning, I was looking at just the way that India is portrayed on screen and how someone like myself living in diaspora who might have never been back to India to like where my father was from, how India is shaped incredibly by the cinema and the film that like I kind of intake.
But interestingly, India is also famous for its own film as
well. Oh, yeah, Bollywood.
Yeah.
It's huge. I've never been that into Bollywood. So for me, this was a way for me to kind of engage with like Indian cinema in the way that it's been presented to me, which is through like a Western gaze.
Yeah, so as part of the diaspora rather than. Okay, that makes sense.
Yeah.
And so I mentioned earlier the work explores objects of our critical obsession and celebrity culture. What are these objects and how does this kind of obsession manifest?
I guess with the objects I created, so like the work itself is 8 scenes taken from Julia Roberts' most famous films, and I've green screened myself into the works. So I've dressed up as, so I like, you know, I get to do that scene from Notting Hill, which is I'm just a girl standing in front of a boy asking him to, yeah, amazing, you know, Hugh Grant, love it. I also did like Pretty Woman with Richard Gere, where he's like captures her hand under the like necklace box and all that kind of stuff. But it was basically me overlaying myself into Julia Roberts' role in the same way that she's kind of overlaid herself and tried to like subsume herself into brown subjectivity while still being a white person. So like, it's fun.
Yeah. So Julia Roberts, in a sense, yeah, as you kind of alluded to, operates as an interlude and a way to access the information. And you mentioned to me earlier, it meant that you didn't have to necessarily insert yourself into
the discourse.
Yeah.
Well, I guess like I have just graduated from COFA last year, and you know, I love exploring my identity through my art, and I think that that's something that a lot of young artists do and everyone does. It's like it's impossible to separate your identity from the work that you make, but for me I felt like the first work that I ever made was called My Motherland is a Mouthful, which is kind of like now a diaspora sort of joke, like using the word motherland and being like, oh, like I can't obtain this and all these kinds of things. And that was great, and that was really important, and it let me explore my identity in a way that made me feel like I can't be a part of one thing or another thing. And then I did 22 Female Australia, which was a video work where I painted – it was a makeup YouTube tutorial to make yourself white.
So, oh, was that at PAX Salon?
Yeah.
Yeah, I saw that.
Yeah. So that one's made a few rounds, and that was really good and really nice, and – the way that I was kind of inspired by the way that people or influenced with this work with the way that people engage and watch it. So people would be standing and watching it and, you know, brown people would come up to me and be like, wow, I love how you did your eye makeup. And then white people would be like, oh my God, I'm so sorry you went through that. So like, there's always the way that you can't control the way that people look at your work and interact with your work and what they take away from it. And so with Julia and I, for me, it was being able to create a bit of distance between myself so that I wasn't directly commenting on myself and my identity, but more using Julia Roberts as a vehicle to explore brown subjectivity and the violence of like ethnographic portraiture on brown identities.
And so how does that actually look? So it's a video work primarily?
Yes. So in the gallery, there are, when you walk in, you are greeted to a red carpet, walking down in the middle of the gallery. At the end of the red carpet, there is a plinth with, which is just a fancy word for table, with five plates, porcelain plates that I've made that have phrases like Julia Roberts is a Hollywood terrorist and Our Lord and Savior, Julia Roberts, and Tiny Caucasian Goddess, some fun phrases that have been taken from a video work on the other side of the room. And that video work was created with the help of people based in India through Amazon's MTurk function. But basically what they did was wrote about their feelings around Julia Roberts. And then I recreated it into a video work and printed some of the phrases on plates. And then the other side is Julia and I, which is three TV screens showing me embodying her roles, you know, throughout her filmography.
Yeah, and so the exhibition central to the work is that it unpacks how queer people of colour can destabilise colonial spectatorship. Mm. Can you elaborate on why you wanted to do this and how it's transpired and if you maybe think it's worked?
I think that, like, it's an ongoing work and process, and I don't think that it's necessarily the answer. And I think it's, for me, like, again, this is still always going to be highly personal, and this is just how I'm choosing to navigate this space at the moment, which is trying to put less of myself on show and, like, not kind of rub myself raw trying to, like, show what I'm going through, but instead trying to talk around ideas. And this is kind of like the first work that I've done that is, like, really purposely funny. Like, it's ridiculous. Like, I'm green screen. Sometimes you see her face come out from behind me. Like, I'm not quite making eye contact with Cameron Diaz in My Best Friend's Wedding. There's all these little, like, janky, bad kind of ways that I've edited it all together. And for me, it's really nice to create something that's fun and enjoyable and, like, I don't know, people watch and go, oh, I know that film. Yeah.
And what role do you think humour and fun has to play in this kind of conversation?
I don't know. I think for me at the moment, the reason that I'm going to humour and fun is, firstly, it feels accessible. But also, this is the first time where people have been like, oh, I don't necessarily get the work as much. Like, I think with 22 Female Australia, people were like, wow, that's a bad thing.
It's
like,
clear, yeah.
Yeah, and like with My Motherland and His Mouthful, you know, people were writing like, is Osama at your party? And like making really racist and sexist comments to me while I was live streaming this other work. So for those ones, like the sentiment is really in your face. Like, I'm giving you, like, you're like, oh, this is a bad thing and therefore I feel bad and therefore you've done a good thing by showing me how bad it is. Whereas this is like, I'm not giving this to you on a platter. I'm not serving it to you on a porcelain plate. I, like, want you to look at this and, like, you'll have fun and you'll laugh, but if you can think a bit more about what it means for a white body to take up this space and for us to praise her, and also for, like, I don't know, the co-option of spirituality by, like, white Western women, like the looking of, like, I don't know, like looking at Gwyneth Paltrow. Like, I think that there's something that we need to critique and we can still have fun with that critique. And it doesn't mean that we hate it, but it does mean that we need to talk about it.
100%. Yeah. Well, thank you so much for joining me. That was wonderful.
No worries.